Hear the word of God. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. Again, that's exactly where they were when they had the water from the rock. We see that in verse 1 and 2. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed, and whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, "The Lord is my banner," saying, "A hand upon the throne of the Lord. The Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." This is the word of the living God. People of God, as we come to this portion of Exodus 17, it is a portion that speaks of a war that begins suddenly because Amalek was following Israel, apparently. And as Israel was there at Rephidim and the water came from the rock, now Amalek comes and they are going to attack Israel. Amalek is a people who were named after the grandson of Esau, Amalek, and they hated Israel. You'll remember that for one morsel of bread, Esau sold his birthright and he would have inherited the blessing, but he was rejected. And that is significant in terms of what happened to his followers, the Amalekites. They are the ones who followed in the footsteps of Israel, and they fought with Israel, and now they come as a military power in a skirmish to try to destroy Israel as Israel is going to go into the land of promise. And here they are at Rephidim, poised and waiting to go into the promised land, and they are here attacked by the Amalekites. And the Amalekites enter the picture as an army that hates the Israelites, an army that hates God, because that's exactly what Moses says later in Deuteronomy, the 25th chapter. He says that the people of Amalek were a people who, as he, and I quote, "did not fear God." They had no fear for God, and they strike the Israelites. They attack the Israelites, and as this passage demonstrates it, it tells us that they followed Israel, and they kind of attacked the people that were in the back. They kind of snuck in. They were very callous and cowardly, and they came to destroy Israel because they hated the Israelites. Amalek's sin is a sin against the people of God, a sin against the people of God who were going to go into the promised land, and it is a sin so deep that it is one that describes their desire to put an end to the plan of salvation, because that's exactly what would have occurred if the Amalekites destroyed Israel. They would have destroyed the plan of salvation, because it was God's choice and God's purpose to bring his people into the land of promise, and there in the land of promise bring about the coming of the Savior of sinners. And the Amalekites came along and they decided to attack Israel. And under this attack, we find this is what happens. Moses says to his soon-to-be named follower, Joshua, "I'm going to go up into the mountain and you are to fight with the Amalekites." We don't get a lot of information. All we are told about is that Moses is going to be on the top of the hill. He says, "Choose men and go out and fight with Amalek, and I will stand on top of the hill." But notice what he says, "with the staff of God in my hand. Remember, the staff of God has been very prominent in the history of the Israelites. The staff of God was the staff with which Moses touched the waters of the Nile. What happened? They turned to blood. The staff of God was that staff with which he struck the rock and water came from the rock. It was significant of the power of God. It was the powerful instrument through which God demonstrated his power and showed his glory in the midst of his people. And Moses says, I will have the staff of God in my hand. And I think that that's the key to the passage where it tells us that Moses is going to be on the top of the hill, but Moses is also going to hold this staff. And it tells us that when he held up his hand, the Israelites prevailed. The significance of Moses' attitude here is the fact that he has uplifted hands, and they are emblematic, if you will, of prayer, supplicating God, asking God, bless this people, destroy this enemy. And that is exactly what happens when Moses' hands are lifted up. But notice it also goes on and it says his hands grew weary. And then they had to hold up his hands so that as his hands were held up, there was victory for the people of God. And as this victory takes place, God is glorified. Not only do we find in this passage that the Amalekites bring an unprovoked attack against Israel, they targeted them in their weakness, in their helplessness. They attacked the stragglers at the back of the caravan. They attacked the weak, you know, the women and the children. Almost sounds like the story of what happened in Israel not too many weeks ago when they were attacked by the people from Palestine. You see this attack, a sneak attack by the Amalekites on defenseless women and children. And they do that because, as I said earlier, Moses says in Deuteronomy 25, they had no fear of God. But Israel depended upon the Lord. And yet this passage sets in the midst of the entire passage, the whole 17th chapter, in which that one very important verse takes place. And that important verse is this: is God with us or not? And God was with them as he demonstrates his power in giving them water from the rock. He satisfies their thirst. He demonstrates that he is with them to give them what they needed and provide for them the water that they needed. And he demonstrates his presence with them when the enemy attacks them. And Moses is here telling Israel the answer to that question. Yes, God is with us. And to convince Israel that the hand of Moses, as he lifted up his hands and as he lifted up the rod, that the hand of Moses was lifting up his hands to God, we find in this passage that they are victorious when Moses lifts up his hands and God answers his prayer. God blesses Israel. The staff serves to signify the power of God. It demonstrated his superiority, remember, over the Pharaoh's Egyptians, over the water in the rock. The Lord's power over and over again is signified throughout all of Exodus. God is present with us, and he is now present when he brings military victory to the people of God. Is God with us? Yes, he is with us. Yes, he delivers us. Yes, he is Lord. And that's a picture in this passage of what God is doing in our lives as well. We could ask the question, is God with us? I'm sure that we have our doubts. I'm sure that sometimes we think maybe God is not with us. Sometimes we have our doubts, sometimes we have our fears, sometimes our problems seem to overwhelm us, but we need to take action as Moses did. We need to rest in the Lord. That's what Moses was doing, raising his hands, depending upon God, wrestling here with the principalities and powers as we do, we must wrestle with the principalities and powers against the enemy, and we must do that with the power of God. And God gives us that in the armor of God. God gives us that in the victory that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. This picture is a picture of our spiritual warfare, the spiritual warfare that takes place between us and the enemy. The enemy here is the enemy who continues to attack as he attacks us today. The enemy here is the enemy who seeks to destroy those who are straggling, those who are in the back, the children, the weak, the women, and he wants to destroy Israel. He wants to bring an end to the glory of God. But God will not allow that. God brings a victory through Moses and Joshua, and God brings a victory because he is sovereign. He is Lord. And it was while these Israelites were enjoying their streams of water flowing from the rock that the Amalekites attacked. That's what happened. They were busy enjoying themselves, not ready for the attack. But the attack came, and the devil does the same when he attacks God's people today. He waits. He waits patiently. He looks for an opportunity to strike you as a child of God. He tries to ensnare you, ensnare those who are lagging behind in their spiritual lives. He tries to bring about a little corruption here, a little corruption there. And then sometimes he makes a full frontal attack on believers. And he often does this when we are exuberant and we're off guard. We're not thinking about standing our ground, resting in Christ. But that's what the enemy does, and he does that constantly. And times of prosperity are there for us as well. And when those times of prosperity come, we need to remember then that we need to have a firm grip with the hand of faith in God, the God who is there for us, who, when the evil one attacks, and he will attack, is the God who will deliver us. And like Moses, we must appeal to God. We must rest in his power. We must be able to answer that question. Is God with us? Yes, he is. He is indeed with us. He is ever present with us. He has promised he will never leave us. And he is there, and the battle is his. The victory is his. And we need the artillery of prayer. We need to rest in the Lord. We need to rest in his grace. And we will conquer the enemy only through the power of faith that rests in the victory of our God. It is said in this passage that he raised a banner over them. It was their standard. It was the idea that they could look up and they could see that there was a standard, a banner. It's almost like a church sign, if you will. A sign, a signal that indicated that God was present with his people. Well, Jesus is our banner, the scripture tells us, and we need to look to him. Look to him and be saved is the message of the word of God. Look to the crucified and risen Savior of sinners who is present with us. And the one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture says, will have eternal life. Remind yourself, the Lord is with us, never will forsake us, always is present, and all we need to do is to rest in him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. May God enable us to do that by his grace and for his glory, and like Moses and Israel, see the glory of God demonstrated in the lives of God's people. Let us pray together.